John chapter 18. We'll begin in verse number 29, Gospel according to John. The 29th verse of the 18th chapter, John 18, 29. Pilate then went out unto them and said, "What accusation bring ye against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If he were not a malefactor, that is, a criminal, we would not have delivered him up unto thee." Then said Pilate unto them, "Take ye him and judge him according to your law." The Jews therefore said unto him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death," that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation, and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, "I find in him no fault at all." We'll endeavor to answer that question today. What is truth? What is truth? Pilate sort of asked this question sarcastically. What is truth? What does it matter? What's the use? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. We would be spirit-filled listeners today. Keep me from saying anything that you would not have me to say, and help me to say only those things which you would have me to say. Lord, I pray that you would bless the reading of your word and the service tonight. Lord, the preaching of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What is truth? What is truth? Many people today, they feel truth is subjective. It is up for you to decide what is true for you, what is true for me. Don't tell me what to believe. I can believe whatever you want. Just don't shove the truth down my throat. Bill Clinton many years ago said that there are many people in the United States of America that believe that there are moral absolutes. Bill Clinton said there are no absolutes. Ladies and gentlemen, I stand here today to tell you that Bill Clinton was wrong. There are absolutes. There are truths in the Word of God that we can learn and say, yes, this is true. This does not change. There are things in life that do not change. In the interest of keeping with independent Baptist tradition, I've alliterated the sermon tonight, but that's only so we can follow along with thinking. Just a quick Bible lesson tonight, and I want you to recognize firstly that the truth is universal. The truth is universal. Universal meaning it is applicable to everybody. It's applicable to all. Four chapters preceding, Jesus said in John 14, verse number 6, you may turn there if you like. I'll begin reading anyhow. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." That's enough, Philip was saying to Jesus. If you'll show us the Father, Jesus, that's enough. That'll satisfy our lack of faith. Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. I am the way, the truth, the life. You notice the definite article, the way, the truth. There is no other way. And Jesus is the truth, the Bible says. So all that is true about this world is, it comes from Jesus. It flows through Jesus. It's compatible with his person. John 3:16 is the most powerful, or one of the most famous verses in all the Bible, where it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. It's whosoever will. Anybody can go to heaven. The truth is universal. It's applicable to every one of us. It's applicable to Brother Raver. It's applicable to Pastor Turner. It's applicable to myself. The truth is universal. I'm not sure what the Calvinist does with believing that only a select few or a select elect will go to heaven. That is not the case as we study the Word of God. Anybody can go to heaven, but they must come through the way. They must come through the truth and the life, and that is Jesus Christ. You see that the truth is universal. I want you to understand also that the truth is understandable. It's very simple. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. We hear much about the gospel or the gospel truth. What is the gospel? The gospel means good news. Good news. And here we have a definition of what the gospel is. Beginning in verse number 1, 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. So we see that the gospel is preached unto us. We've received it. We stand in it. We're saved by it. If you're a Christian, all these promises apply to you. And then Paul begins to expound a little further. For I have delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. You notice how it was personal in the life of the Apostle Paul, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's good, isn't it? And it's so simple. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. He died for you, died for me. And he loves everybody, regardless of skin color, regardless of nationality, regardless of background, regardless of what you've done, God loves you. It's the gospel truth. It's easy to understand. It's not tough. But so sadly we make a habit of overcomplicating what God has made so simple. My heart, really it does. And there's so much historical evidence as you study. Lee Strobel wrote a book, The Case for Christ, and there is a Hebrew historian by the name of Josephus. He's long, long gone now, but he was seen of Cephas. We continue reading on, verse 5, he was seen of the 12. He was seen of 500 brethren at once. The resurrection is historical fact. It is not something to be argued with. It is not something to be trifled with. The resurrection did happen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. I want you to see this. This is a great truth. The truth is understandable. But I fear, verse number 3, 2 Corinthians 11, verse number 3, I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. We realize today that there is simplicity in Christ. We can have faith in God. We can believe him and take him at his word. It's really quite simple. In Galatians chapter 1, you don't have to turn there. I'll go ahead and read that once I find it over here. Galatians 1:6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He's tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And it's so easy to get distracted from the cares of this world, from the cares of life, that we forget the simplicity that is in Christ. And I want us to understand today, and I know we do, I'm almost preaching to the choir, if you will. This is a Wednesday night crowd. A good majority of us are saved, but if you aren't, the gospel truth is simple. And anyone can go to heaven, but it must be through the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth is universal. It's applicable to all. It's understandable. It's simple. The truth is unavoidable. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter number 1. I believe, according to the word of God, that the law of God, conscience, and moral standards are written in our hearts and minds, as verified by the book of Psalms, Jeremiah, and the book of Hebrews. Romans chapter 1, verse number 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Speaking of the unsaved, God has showed it unto them in creation. We can see as we walk outside, we look at the trees, we look at the sky, the invisible things. Notice verse number 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Isn't that the world we live in today? Where there are wise men everywhere, but nobody is willing to come to the place where, oh, maybe I don't know all that I think I know. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. Harsh words. To dishonor their own bodies between themselves. To change the truth of God into a lie. Notice truth. How in the hands of man, with his own agendas, he can change the truth of God into a lie. And worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. When we transfer the worship that is due unto God, I like our theme. We will worship. We will worship him. Not our own ideas, not our ambitions, not our dreams, but the Lord. Our hearts need to be turned Godward and realize that the object of our worship should be him and not ourselves or any other thing that this world has to offer. The law of God is written in our hearts and minds. I want you to turn to Romans 10. This is a really good truth that I must tell you today as well. Verse number 3, we just talked about how people go about to establish their own righteousness. And we go about to establish what feels good. We'll trust feelings rather than the facts, rather than what God says, what he's plainly written for us. What is it? 66 books, 3 different languages. And like there's no reason that we should have this book. But here it is. Roman emperors have tried to destroy it. Revolutionaries have tried to burn it and take it away from the public eye. But the word of God is still in our hands after all these days. We praise the Lord. Verse number 9, Romans chapter 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I like the certainty of that. Thou shalt be saved. For sure, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever, we went over this before, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to notice verse number 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How are they going to hear? We often ask, how about those who have never heard? How about those who have never heard? It's not fair. Why do they have to go through life without God and go to hell without knowing? That's a false paradigm. Let's switch that. Why have we not told them? Verse number 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can't believe something that you have not heard to begin with. In order to take action, actionable faith, you must believe on something. And we need to hear the truth before we can act on it. So then faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing how? By the word of God, the Bible. The truth is unavoidable. It's universal, understandable, unavoidable. It's unchangeable. Hebrews chapter 6. We're almost through. We're getting there. But I hope we're understanding the importance of the truth today and how it impacts our lives. The truth is unchangeable. Hebrews 6, verse number 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of his promise, that's us, the immutability of his counsel, the unchangeability of his counsel. His counsel cannot change. He confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we have a strong consolation. We have a strong hope. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Two immutable things. So his counsel cannot change. His word cannot change. He confirms it by an oath. Those two immutable things. And then he says, God cannot lie. Wow. We have a strong consolation. We have a strong hope in Jesus Christ. And I love verse number 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Anchor Baptist Church. How about that? Both sure and steadfast. And which entereth into that within the veil. Whither the forerunner is for us. Entered even Jesus. Our anchor of the soul, we praise the Lord for Jesus. James 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There's no variableness with God. God doesn't change. And if God does not change, neither will the truth. Neither will his truth change. If we'll understand that we serve a God that does not change and that we can trust, we have an anchor of the soul. Sure, it's steadfast, it's going to last. We don't have to wait around and wonder, well, maybe this will change. In spite of changing fashions, in spite of changing times, God does not change and his truth does not change. But we also notice that the truth is unpopular. It breaks my heart to say this, but not everybody wants to hear it. In spite of it being very simple, in spite of it being written on our hearts, not everybody wants to hear the word of God. It's unpopular. Matthew 7. Matthew 7 reveals this fact to us. In fact, in Matthew 23, Jesus saved his greatest indictment for the religious crowd. And how sobering that is. People with high standards can still be out of the will of God. People who dress in a suit and tie, people that look good and have it all figured out and they're rich and they're loaded and they got really just a life all together. If you don't have the truth, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son hath not life. It's very simple. Death is no respecter of persons. Good people go to hell. Bad people go to hell. And if you can't preach on hell without a tear in your eye, I believe you ought not to preach about it at all. Truth is unpopular. God, break our hearts. Look at Matthew 7 with me. Enter ye in, verse number 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in there. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it. This is why Anchor Baptist Church exists today. For those people. And the story is told of a man who was walking down the beach and he saw a little boy. He saw a little boy. He was picking up starfish and throwing them in the water. And there were starfish all over the beach. And this man's looking at the little boy. He's sort of jaded. He's sort of cynical. He's lived a long, full life, and he's seen all that life has to offer, or so he thinks. This little boy, what's he doing? He's wasting his time. So he goes to the little boy and he tells him, little boy, you're wasting your time. Why are you trying to throw all those starfish back into the ocean? I know the tide's out, they're just going to die there, but you see all these starfish, you're not going to be able to throw them all there. You're wasting your time. Give it up. The boy takes another starfish. He looks at the man. Throws it into the water. He said, I made a difference for that one. You can't do everything. No one can. You can do something. Amen. With Almighty God, we would do something. Matthew chapter 9 is the only request on Jesus' prayer list. The last verses of Matthew chapter 9 says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. That will send forth laborers into his harvest. There are many laymen. Where are the laborers? Yeah, we need laymen. But we need laborers too. And Jesus asked us to pray. It's Almighty God we pray. Truth is unpopular. Psalm chapter 1, we do see that there are scornful people. There are people that don't want to hear about God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. There is a progression there. You start listening to ungodly people, you start standing in the way of sinners, and you begin to sit in the seat of the scornful. It's a slippery slope. Be very careful who you listen to. Monitor the voices you listen to. Ask the Lord to help you. Can't run away from God. Man's heart deviseth his way. The Lord directeth his steps. It's going to go God's way anyway. Don't fight God. It's not worth arguing with God. And I will tell you today, as God is my witness, it's not worth it. It's not worth it to sit in the seat of the scornful, to be critical of your local church. Say, oh, I don't like the way things are run around here. If I were the pastor, I would do things a little bit differently. If I were in charge, well, you know, I got it all figured out. That's dangerous. Be very careful of that critical spirit. Be very, very careful of that critical spirit. And continuing off of that thought, Proverbs chapter 5 has more to say about that. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children. Verse number 7, Proverbs 5. Depart not from the words of my mouth. Elsewhere it says, buy the truth, sell it not. I like that. That's good. Lest strangers, skip down to verse 10, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof? And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. Those who do not listen to counsel will regret it later. Definitely and absolutely. Verse number 21 says, the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. He pondereth, he considers all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. If we struggle with known sin, we're trapped. He shall die without instruction. In the greatness of his folly shall he go astray. The truth is unchangeable. Don't rebel against God. The truth is unpopular. 1 Thessalonians 5:20, despise not prophesying. That is, don't despise the preaching of the word, God, the word of God, the strong declaration, caruso, that's the Greek, to proclaim, what, regardless of the messenger, regardless of who's delivering the truth. You may not like the way he's dressed. You may not like the way she tells it to you. But if it's true, don't get offended. Don't take it personally. Regardless of the person's intents, we can never judge a person's motives. We can never know for sure what somebody is thinking. But regardless, a wise man can learn from his own mistakes, but a wiser man will learn from the mistakes of other people. We can learn from everybody. And so the truth is unpopular, but we must listen. We must listen for the voice of God everywhere. It's not worth going through life thinking we've had it figured out and then paying the price later. Finally, today, universal, understandable, unavoidable, unchangeable, unpopular. The truth is unstoppable. I love this. Matthew chapter 16. I know we're all over the place, but it's all good. Amen. It's the Bible. And if I'm not preaching the Bible today, don't even worry about it. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 17. Actually, we'll move up to verse 16. Verse 50. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, that's another name for Peter, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the truth of the word of God. It can't prevail against the true church. On this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The work of the Lord is always advancing. It's always moving forward. It's always moving forward. Jude talks about earnestly contending for the faith, not defending, contending, moving forward for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints from Jesus. Jesus is the living word. The devil cannot defeat God's word. I've said it before. The devil cannot beat God's word, written or incarnate. It doesn't matter. He can't defeat Jesus, and he cannot defeat what the Bible says and what Jesus has said in his holy word. I want you to see Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God. The work of the Lord is always advancing. It's unstoppable. Verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's got to be by his spirit. Be strong in the Lord. Not in my own devices. Be strong in the Lord. The power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. All of it. Pay attention. That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's the tricks. The devil plays tricks on us. The Bible speaks of strongholds. The Bible speaks of fiery darts. The devil is good at tricking us into believing lies that we tell ourselves and lies that come from him. We need to put our faith in what God says and not our feelings. It's very important. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't fight against our family. We don't fight against our friends. We don't fight against strangers or people we don't even like. Listen now. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's a demonic hierarchy, okay? If Satan's army is organized, how about the army of God? How much more should we be focused? Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand, having done all, having put purpose in our heart that we will stand for the Lord. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Thinking of a Roman soldier here, because the Apostle Paul was writing and thinking about these sort of things, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So being righteous, holy living, personal holiness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Remember the gospel? We talked about that. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Faith is the key that unlocks the door. That is the means by which we are able to defeat the devil. By taking the shield of faith, putting trust in what God has already said, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. In Roman times, they would hold a sort of shield that could quench the fiery darts that were thrown at them. Bow and arrow, you would think. So we have a shield of faith that is able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. That's a great thought. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. May we value the word of God. So let's recap. The truth is universal. Okay? It's for everybody. It's understandable. It's very simple. It's unavoidable. It's written on our hearts. It's unchangeable. You can't change the mind of God, and you can't change his word. The truth is unpopular. Not everybody wants to hear the truth, but it bears repeating, and it's worth repeating. To speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. We must speak the truth in love. Without compassion, people won't hear what we've got to say. And it's got to be the Lord. It's got to be the Lord. Only God can give heaven-sent compassion that we so desperately need. Universal, understandable, unavoidable, unchangeable, unpopular. And finally, the word of God is unstoppable. Let me close with this. Let God be true and every man a liar. If we are to remember anything today, I don't want you to remember our outline. I want you to remember our God. And what God says matters most.